I'm really excited about this morning. So for those of you who weren't here for the past 2 weeks, we've chatted a little bit, or if I say a little bit, but we looked at the glory of God and just different aspects of seeing Jesus and what it means and what it does to us. And last week, one of the main focuses we looked at was we saw if we pull on the string, and I'm going to use this example again, okay? So for those of you who were here last week, just listen to it again, okay? But if you have a jersey like Andrew is wearing this morning, okay? Like, who if you've ever, there's been a, like, sometimes there appears this little thread, and there's a split second where we can decide, is it a good idea or a bad idea to try and break this thing off or cut it? Okay, so some of you have been there before, and like my mom said, I always chose the wrong one and decide I'm just going to pull it and see what happens. And I remember with one of my jerseys, pulled the sleeve right till here, all right. And we saw if we, sometimes with scripture, if we pull on some certain threads, it just looks like that was the one that kept everything else together. Like with my jersey in many cases, okay? It looks like if I pulled on that one string, it's like the whole jersey just unfolded. And the string of the glory of God for me is that one thing. If we pull on that, it unfolds a whole bunch of stuff. And last week, we looked at the aspect of mercy. If we see the glory of God, we realize that we are in need of mercy. And then we said, and when we receive true mercy, our response is extravagant worship. Because we can't just, it's not just thank you, Jesus, and we go on as normal, but we respond in extravagant worship. You guys with me? Can you remember that? And I think last week we had a really good meeting, and I want to thank you guys for afterwards that we responded and we came to God. But I think we haven't quite broken through yet. There's still something. This is a topic, and we don't just want to move on from topic to topic or subject to subject without really getting this, all right? And so we're going to touch on worship a little bit more this morning and a different side of it than I am really expected that God's going to do something, all right? And we looked at the story of the lepers last week, okay? The melazes, okay? And I don't know if anybody went to Google what that looks like, but do yourself a favor and don't. But the lepers, we looked at that story, and our 10 of them were cleansed, but only one came back ultimately to say thank you. And this, we said the other 9, it's not like they even did anything wrong. It's Jesus told them, go, walk to the priest, and go show yourself, and they did that. But the one was able to move from the place of what Jesus was able to do for them to realizing who Jesus is. And I trust that we can move, not just stop again like, wow, it's amazing. God gives us mercy. That is incredible. But I trust today that we can move from just what He can do for us to, man, He's the one who was able to do it. And that we can respond this morning in extravagant worship. And I really felt, just as I was prepping, I want to encourage you. I trust that as I'm ministering this morning, that even God will come and touch our hearts as I'm busy speaking. And I want to ask you, man, if you can sense God is doing something in your heart, and you feel, I either need to repent this morning, or I want to kneel, or I want to shout, or whatever, don't wait till I'm finished and then do it. I really want to liberate you, okay? If you feel, even while I'm preaching, go for it. Okay, like do it. But if God is touching your heart this morning, and if God is moving in you, respond to that. Okay, don't wait for someone to stir you up this morning and say, now we're going to lift our hands, or now we're going to kneel. But you just respond to God in whatever He's asking you. Is that cool? So I really want to liberate this. Okay, just give me a heads up, wave at me, and then shout. Otherwise, I'm going to fright. But respond, okay, this morning. I really want to encourage us to respond as it comes. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump in. Lord, I am excited, Lord, and convinced that You want to do something deep in us this morning, God. And we just thank You, God, that really it is all about You, God. And because of Your nail-pierced hands, that we can even be here today, Lord. And that we can come and we can worship You, God. And we pray this morning, God, that as we look at this topic of worship again, God, that You'd come and shift something in us, God. That worship is not about us, God. It is not about what we can get out of it, but it is all about You, Lord. And that You would come and make that the norm and settle that in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to look at a scripture in Hebrews this morning. And I think for us as a New Testament, or for those of us who are in the New Testament this morning, this is probably for the church, I think, one of the key scriptures when it comes to worship, all right? So in the Old Testament, in Psalms and those places and with the Israelites, there's a whole bunch of stuff on worship and how they worship and what we can bring to God. But in the New Testament, I think this is one of the key ones. And Mia, you can opposite belief. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of lips that confesses His name." And I want to—we touched on this last week, but I do want to start again. It's so important that it starts with "through Jesus," through Jesus, because of Jesus. All right, now. There is no other reason that we can walk through that door this morning and want to lift our hands in praise if it wasn't for the price that Jesus paid. And like I said last week, man, if you ever drove in your car and you're coming to church and there's that feeling, I don't feel like worshiping this morning and it's not going well. And like if you had a week like mine financially with my car just breaking, like it feels like everything in 1 week going, okay? And if you, like, there's not a super exciting feeling in me like I want to celebrate God for finances this morning, okay? It's not there, okay? But if you need a reason to worship God and praise God, all we need to see is nail-pierced hands who made the way for me need to be here and to come to God, all right? And if you ever need a reason to come and bring God a sacrifice of praise, it is because of it's through Jesus, all right? And thanks, Grant. You're such an encourager, Bruce. Nice to have you again. And that thing is, I want to encourage us. There's a story with Matt Redman, and you've guys heard this many times, but many years ago, in a church that he was part of in England, they felt that the church was growing, and Matt Redman was just becoming the new next big thing, all right? And people were coming because he was just writing all these kiff songs, and they had the most incredible worship. And then him and the pastor felt, people are actually coming to the church because the band is doing really well, and they've got the best worship. And they felt for a season, we're just going to cut the music, all right? And people rocked up on one Sunday, and there was no guitars laying around, no mics, and they said, you know, today we're just going to gather, and we're just going to bring God a sacrifice of praise, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to worship. And they did it for week upon week, no band. And I want to ask you, if we had to pull that stunt, and I'll let you know next week, hey, our musos are all sick today, we're just going to worship God, a cappella. And we're not going to present to you the next best song. I'm not going to lead it. We put away the mic. And then next week, we're going to do it again. And the week thereafter again. And again. So would you come? Would you come when you open your window and you see the mist and it's so cold and you open your window in summer and you check the waves firing and you know there's not going to be a cooking band up here, okay? Would you come to bring God a sacrifice of praise on that morning? All right. And I pray, and I believe you guys, I hope so, okay, but I believe that our hearts must be, yes, Lord, I'll bring you something. I'll bring you something more than a song today. Like that song we sang last week. And I'm just scanning here that I don't miss anything. And who of you woke up this morning, and then it says, let us bring a sacrifice. Now, who of you woke up this morning and said, I am so amped to bring a sacrifice. I want to sacrifice something, okay? And I'm not speaking about like just slaughtering something and burn it, okay? Sacrifice is something that costs us something, okay? Now, I don't know who of you ever woke up on a day and decided, today I am amped to sacrifice something. No, okay? Sacrifice is like for the one or two guys in church who go the extra mile, and they're the ones who really, really follow God. And we often look at them as like, wow, would you look at that? Real Christians, all right? And we almost commend them and we give them a badge of honor. It's like, look at these guys going the extra mile. Okay? But sacrifice for us is not something that comes natural, okay? It's a price. And I was thinking about examples in the week, and one of the youth, he told me, I'm always keen to bring God a sacrifice. And I asked him, are you keen to smash your PlayStation because it's taking your time from spending time with God, and that's your sacrifice that you bring? And I could see it was like this short-circuiting, okay? It's like, oh, no, not really, okay? And not that kind of sacrifice, but it would have cost his dad and him, okay? But it's like, this, it's something that cost us, that you feel. And it says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice. Okay? And you know, the church, guys, is here because of sacrifice. If it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no church. All right? And church cannot exist without sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there's no worship. All right? And in the Old Testament, for me, often, and I'm speaking under correction now, Mike will correct me afterwards, okay? But sacrifice, in a sense, equaled worship. That often those words are intertwined. If you look at Abram going up the mountain, he says, because God asked him to go, sacrifice his son. And he goes up, and the guy asks him, so where are you going? He says, I'm going up to worship. Yeah. And it was a price. It was a big thing. It was a cost. Okay? And I think at the core of what we believe, sacrifice must be there. We cannot sit anymore and look at the one or two guys and say, yes, well done. You go for it. You bring your sacrifice. I'll just watch and I'll stand you on the side. But I believe for us, extravagant worship equals sacrifice. And I think that's why on Wednesday night, for those of you at the gathering, if you weren't there, I want to encourage you, as soon as that teaching is on the web, go listen to it, okay? But I think Dan hit the thing right on the head when he spoke about, he challenged us on our position of what we believe. And he said, we as a church, it should be somewhere on there on the side. It says, anything with Josh in it, it says, dying to live. And it's there, and some of us don't see it anymore. And that's kind of what we believe. It's like, man, when we join this thing, these guys that joined this morning, it is not just that we have more numbers in church, but they're coming to die so that we can live. But for those, and especially for those of us who've been in Josh Den longer, sometimes the dying part, we try and skip that and we're just trying to get to the living part. All right? And whenever the enemy comes lately and he shoves us a little bit on, are you really willing to die? Dan used this example and we just like fall over. So easy. And I believe for us, the sacrifice, it starts there with, God, I'm going to die. It's going to cost me something. And this is really a thing that I can see God doing in us as a church as well. And I want to look at a couple of sacrifices. And so, Mia, you can put up Malachi 1. And just the context, so in the Old Testament, the Israelites, Jesus wasn't there yet. They had to offer sacrifices to God. And then in verse 6, it says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I'm your father, where is my honor? This is God speaking, all right? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name. How do you say, how have we despised your name? And then this is, by offering polluted food on my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. You can unhandle, thanks, Mia. And when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. In another translation, it says, now plead with God that he be gracious to you. Okay? And God says to these guys, your sacrifice, in our words today, it is so cheap. You bring me the animals, the ones that are blind, the ones that are lame. In another translation, it says, those who are already dead. It costs you nothing. It's the one you actually don't want. And you come and put that on the altar and you say, God, at least I'm bringing you a sacrifice. And God's reply is, is that not evil? And I want to take it to us today. Now, hopefully none of you are going to walk here and go sacrifice a cow at your house or something, okay? But our sacrifice today, how does it look like for us when our worship is so cheap? And we bring God the leftover time that we had. The spare money that was there extra after we bought all that we want, if there's something left. The whatever attention after we've done whatever we want. And I believe, guys, I really want this to stick, is sometimes I think our sacrifices that we bring to God is so cheap. And I don't want to take away, okay? I love the fact that we are all here today. But for me, we pause the topic of should I come to church or not. It's a given, okay? But when we come to church, how do you come? Okay? And I think if I'm honest, sometimes we rock up here, and I'm including myself in this, and I can lift my hands, and I can sing a song to God when the band starts, but really there's no sacrifice involved. It is so easy. It is so cheap. And I want to challenge you this morning. If you think about worship, and not only in the song that we're going to bring this morning, because we're going to respond after this, okay? But in the week, what does a sacrifice look like? That really, this hurts to the core, but it's worth it. It's costing you something, but you present that thing to God on the altar, and you say, Lord, this is worth it. I mean, it couldn't have been easy for Abram to tie his son on the altar. And he was about to kill him. Okay. And that wasn't a cheap sacrifice. Okay. That, as you can you imagine that conversation like that, what the heck's going on here? All right. And his dad is tying him up. And Abram, I can just imagine in his heart, he must have said to God, Lord, this is a sacrifice that is costing my everything. And he brought it. All right. You guys still with me? All right. And so I want you to keep that in consideration. And then we're going to look at 2 Samuel 6. And the story with this is that the Philistines, they stole the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark in those days represented God's presence, okay? So if the Ark was in your house, more than often, okay, or more than not, it went well with you. It was going well because the presence of God was there, okay? Then the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, and years later, David decides, I'm going to go get it, and we're going to bring it back. And there's first a story where some of you might have heard this, but they loaded on a wagon. Wasn't the way to carry it, okay? There were specific instructions, and they get on the wagon because they got so used to it. Okay? The ark has been standing in Uzziah's house for years, and he just got so used to it. There's the ark. I'm not going to carry it. This thing is heavy. Let's load it on the wagon, and they weren't allowed to touch it, okay? And they're walking, and the wagon goes over a rock, and the ark is about to fall. And Uzzah is like, hey, I want to save the ark. And he touches it. Boom, dies right there. Okay? Because he got a bit used to it. And it was easy. It was cheap. Okay? And David says, no, we're going to do this thing in the right way. And he says, now King David was told that the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has made because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, had sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Now, just picture this, okay? Six steps. So you've got the ark, carrying it, and you give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Stop. Put it down. Slaughter a cow. Slaughter a fattened calf, okay? That doesn't take 1 second, okay? Get it up, walk. Okay, I think they chose the tallest guys with the biggest steps, okay? It's like, walk. Okay, 1, 2, 3. 6 steps. Slaughter the cow, slaughter the fattened calf. Can you imagine that, okay? Christian made a joke the other day. It's like, I wonder where the Israelites went, okay? It's like, check this bloody trial. And it was messy, okay? And so I've got some the statistics, okay? Statistics, okay? I'm Afrikaans, for those of you who are wondering, okay, with my amazing English. And listen to this. It says, thanks, Jason. It says, during the ceremony of transporting the ark from the house of Obed-Edom into the tabernacle of David, David sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf every 6 paces, and the journey may have been about 6 miles. Okay? 31,680 feet. If each step were approximately 2 feet, 6 paces would be 12 feet. Okay, David could have stopped 2,640 times during the journey to offer 2,640 oxen and 2,640 calves. Okay, that's next level. Okay, here's the better part. Is that did not come out of Israel's treasury. It came out of David's pocket. Okay, he said, I'm not going to take something that is just there and is actually all of ours and we're going to sacrifice to God. But he brought that blessing back, and he says he gave of his own. His cows, okay, his fattened calves. It was a big price, okay. Now, I've never seen a herd even of 2,640 cows, okay. It was a massive price. Okay? And then in another story, just later on in Samuel, and where David speaks, and it's a different story, but he uses these words. And in 2 Samuel 24:24, it says, far be it from me to offer anything to God that cost me nothing. It is not going to be part of me. I'm not going to give anything to God that is cheap. I'm going to feel it. And I believe for us, there are two sacrifices that I want to focus on this morning that I believe God is asking us to bring, all right? And the first one is the sacrifice of self. Yourself, all right? And the danger for us living in the modern era today is it's so easy for us to become consumers of worship. It's so cheap, man. Like, I mean, with Apple Music these days, you don't even have to buy a CD anymore. You can literally get a new worship album every day and you can pay 60 rand a month and you have it. All right, and then you listen to it. I didn't really like that CD. This song is great. We've been there, we've done that, and we just consume what is nice, what is about me. And we come to church and we say, man, I really hope Mike Radigan is leading worship this morning, because when he leads, there's like a presence of God that comes and I'm going to feel nice. Okay, I mean, that's a compliment, Mike, by the way. Okay, but we make up pick, and it's like, man, I hope they sing that song because I really enjoy that. That one that the other night was really a bit funky. I didn't smoke that. I didn't feel like it when they sang that. And we make up pick, and we become consumers. Are you laughing at my language here? I'm sorry. All right, and we make up pick of what will suit me when it comes to worship. And I have this conversation with my family often about, like, does worship need to be done in this way or this way or this way? And people pick their churches based on what suits me and what I feel comfortable with bringing. I want to say, man, if you join this church, chances are somewhere you're not going to be comfortable with the sacrifice you're going to need to bring in worship. All right? I hope so, at least. I hope that we never become comfortable. All right? But guys, we need to be, the sacrifice of self is that we become the consumees in worship. And we say, God, really, I bring myself this morning to you as an offering, Lord. What is it this morning that will bless your heart? What can I bring you to make you happy? I don't want to be here to consume worship, and when I walk out the doors, like, yes, that was great. I had the goosebump feeling for 2 seconds. All right? But Lord, this morning, if I walk out and I felt nothing, but your heart was made happy, I'm okay with that. Because it's about you. All right? And then the second, let me just see here. I want to touch on this. I want to ask you guys to think about this. Yes, and please hear me, that scripture in Hebrews goes on. And it's not only about the songs that we bring, the fruit of lips, okay? But think about it on a Sunday morning. How do you go about it bringing God a sacrifice of praise? How does it look to you to bring yourself as a sacrifice? Okay? I want you to picture this, that this morning when we're going to respond, to not just settle again, I'm just going to stand here, I'll lift my hands when we sing lifting hands, but to really say, God, what is it that will bless your heart this morning? And for some, man, if you've never shouted in worship, like I said last week, I don't think you've worshipped properly yet. Okay? Get it out there, even if it's a hoo-ha, okay? But like, you bring a shout to God, and you bless God with a shout. He likes it. Okay? Can I just comfort you? Heaven one day is going to be really loud. Okay? It's not going to be soft. I'm going to fit right in. Okay? It's going to be loud. And right now, to bring God that shout and bless Him with it. Okay? If you want to kneel down because we're in the presence of a king, do it. Okay, but bring something that cost you this morning, all right? And with this, with money, I even want to say, and we're touching on money, but we really want to say, guys, thank you so much for blessing Ron and Ina for the holiday. There was a lot of cash that came in, and they can get away and have a nice holiday for a family of four, and you guys were super generous, and we want to say thank you so much. And Ron asked me, please say thanks to the guys, okay? So you can give yourself a hand. Clap, bless them, okay? And so we want to say thank you there, but I want to encourage you, man, this thing, I've read a scripture, and I'm running off my notes here, okay? I'm going to land it now, but there's a scripture in the Bible that says when Jesus was born, when the wise men came and they brought him gifts. In Luke it says, they brought him gifts worthy of a king. All right, they didn't rock up there and just say, hey, I've got an extra scarf here for a cold night in Bethlehem, okay? Or I've bought the Airbnb next to you for you because you're in a major, get a bed or something like that. Okay, it wasn't that. It says they offloaded gold and myrrh and incense, and it was gifts worthy of a king. Okay, and when I heard that before, I was like, man, that impacts my giving financially. When I give, like, and we're not flourishing at the moment, please give me that, okay? But when I give, it's like, Lord, this is costing me. But you're worthy. You're worthy of a king, and I bring you a sacrifice this morning. And I want to urge you this morning, if you missed it, okay, man, make a commitment afterwards and say, I'm going to give. But bring God something that costs us, okay? For the pantry, there's a pantry box. You can still add cash there or chat to Uncle Frank afterwards. But we bring something, Lord, as I present this to you, as I give it to you generously. Because you're worthy. Gifts worthy of a king. Amen? And then the second one I want to touch on, and this is very real, okay? And we're not joking about it anymore, but I believe it's the sacrifice of pain that we need to worship through. And this is often for many, sometimes where it starts, because God uses pain to amplify his message. And for many, it's where it stops often. Because then the questions come, if God is a good God, how can he? A, B, or C, whatever is in your mind. And I want to share with you, is in our worship, to really, through pain, we need to choose God. I'll worship you. And I think, just as I prepped in the week, I think many of you might think, well, it's easy for you to say, it's your job and you need to do it, okay? I want to present to you, maybe not as easy as you think, all right? There are often days, many days, that I walk through those doors with something very heavy on my heart. And I don't always feel like standing up there and just, it's my job, I need to lead us in worship, all right? But there's been many times where I had to choose through pain that, God, I praised you 2 weeks ago that you're good, I'll do it again, Lord. All right, and I've asked my sister to share the. I phoned her on Friday and asked whether I can share the story. But I want to share the story, and not that it's about me this morning, but I feel that there might be someone here that can connect with this morning, and I want to encourage you to go for it through pain. All right, so my sis, many of you know we have an amazing family. On my mom's side of the family, there's a truckload of people. Firstly, all right, but on my mom's side of family, from my grandpa to the youngest cousin who can think for himself, everybody is saved, which is amazing, okay? I think it's like 34 people on my mom's side. It's a lot, okay? And it's incredible, okay? And like, man, my grandpa, he's a Duomini as well, okay? I'm not a Duomini, but he's a Duomini, okay? And so they prayed hours and hours and hours for us as a family, and we can see it today, that our family is passionate about God. And last year, there was this 1 month where our family was in 7 different nations busy ministering. It was incredible. I love it, man. But my little sis last year, she decided that she wanted to do the outreach with the organization group and whatever. That was a whole nother debate. But she went with them, and while they were in Turkey, and it was just before we left for Russia, that she was in Turkey, and they had to hitchhike from the one place to the other, and it happened for some reason that my sister ended up alone, and the guy that she got a lift with tried to rape her. Okay. While she's on outreach in another nation for Jesus, okay, and she gets in this car, and this guy tried to rape her, and she luckily managed to get away, but she was obviously molested. And man, my sister is the innocence herself, okay? She's never held another guy's hand, all right? So it shook her. And this is just the day before a week before we leave for Russia. And I was like, I don't even want to take my wife with now, man. And it was real, okay. And I tell you, like, questions like, God, why? She went there for you. Like, why didn't you protect her? Why wasn't one of the guys with her? I was angry. I tell you, I was angry at God. I was angry at Turkey. Okay, I was angry at the guy who did it. I was angry because my sister went. And there was a whole bunch of emotions. And what happened after that is I started having very bad nightmares every night, couldn't sleep. They're still there. It was 3 days before she could even contact one of us because she didn't have a cell phone. And she went into major depression. And now she's stuck halfway around the world. Okay, I don't have cash. I just bought a ticket to Russia. And I had to walk through these doors, and I was like, I didn't feel like worshiping, if I'm really honest. And what happened is about a month later, we just realized she's not doing better. We decided as a family we're going to fly her back. And I went to fetch her from the airport. And I'm telling you, my heart broke when she was in our house and I could see how my sister's doing. And this is, ambition is the wrong word, but passion that I'm going to go for the name of Jesus a whole year. I'm going to give it. And I'm going to run hard for God. And then this happens. And my sister's in our house and I can barely relate with her. All right. There's a lot of questions come through that. And then when she went home eventually to my parents, my mom fell into depression. My dad, stories came out that actually my mom, when she was quite young, she was molested. And my older sister, when she was studying for occupational therapy, the same thing happened. All three girls in our family. And my dad is angry because all three girls whom he really took good care of, out of his control, they were molested. And I'm telling you, I sat at home often, and whenever, especially when I spoke to them, I cried, man. I was like, I cried over my sister. I cried over my mom. I cried over my dad, and it was sore. It was painful. And then eventually, a little while later, I said to my sister, like, I want to ask you to come down to the 412 conference. We'll buy a ticket. We'll buy a plane ticket or whatever, and come down. And I believe God wants to do something. All right. Now she's here, but she's not in a good state, man. And she's doing the conference, and I think her brain was blown, which is a good thing, all right, if you get to 412 conference. But and the last night, I'll never forget it, then Murph was leading worship, and we sang that song for the first time, Every Nation, Every Soul. And I want to read these words to you. And I remember I'm standing next to my sister, and we're singing this. It says, all the nations, they will come, holding broken chains above their heads, singing, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm telling you, at that moment, I didn't want to sing about any nation. I didn't want to sing about any soul or broken chains or whatever, because it's real. And the chorus that says, Jesus, you're worth it all. You're worth of every nation, every soul. And that night, I'm telling you, it was not easy to sing, if I'm very real. Okay, but with every repeat, and we did like 200 repeats of that, okay, with every repeat that we did, it was like, God, I'm going to sing it because I believe it. And it was a cost, man. It was a sacrifice. And it wasn't just singing words but not believing it in my heart. I was saying, God, you're worthy of every nation, every soul. You're worthy of my sister going to Russia, to Turkey for it and happening. You're worthy if someone was being touched through that outcome. It was a cost. It was a deep sacrifice. And incredibly, like today, man, what the Lord did in our family is significant. I think God used it. He freed my mom 45 years later after she'd been molested. She'd never spoken to anyone about it. And 45 years later, God used that thing to set my mom free. And we saw my mom in December. It's like, I didn't know her. It was a new lady, what God has done in her, all right? But it came through major pain. Major pain. And my sister today, she's actually in the 412 church in Bloom now. And she phoned me, when I phoned on Friday to ask, can I share the story? Because I think it might impact some people. She said, yes, go for it, as long as it impacts someone. But I want to ask you something else. And I said, yes. It's like, I want to go to Brazil in July. Do you think it's a good idea? Okay. And I was like, yes. Okay. And she asked, so should I go with Leonard or Mike Davies? So I was like, go with Mike, okay? it's incredible that she's actually at a place where she's willing to say, I'll do it again. I'll do it again, because it's worth it, all right? It's not been an easy process, guys. That's been real. And one thing I've learned in pain is we have not ignored it, okay? We didn't make as if it's not there. I didn't walk through these doors and make, it's not real, I'll deal with it later, let's just worship. No, it's like we faced it head on. We stayed in it. It's like, it is real, it is sore, I'm angry, but God, I'll choose to say, you're worthy of every nation, every soul. And whatever reason I needed to celebrate God that morning is I needed to see nail-pierced hands. Okay? If you're here this morning, and maybe you can relate to a similar story like that, okay? These things, pain, guys, that death, okay? Stuff like that, rape, whatever, real stuff, okay? And we ask the question, how can I worship God that is good? All you need to see this morning is nail-pierced hands. Start there, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our response to that is in pain, guys. It's extravagant worship. Extravagant worship. Bring a song that I love that verse that said last week when he spoke about the 10 lepers, that he came back and he praised God loudly, passionately, fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. And we're going to do that this morning. So maybe worship team can come up so long. And I want to ask, Just in our response this morning, and there's a couple of responses that I want. We're going to start with communion this morning, all right? And we have communion in the front. There's some communion in the back. And we're going to start this morning at the door of mercy. And as we take communion, we're going to remember Jesus, okay? And maybe that story we're going to share now, maybe there's someone that can relate. And that thing is very real and here in your mind. And we need to come through the door of mercy this morning and say, God, even if I can't find anything in my life at the moment that you're good for, I know that you died for me on the cross. And this morning, I remember your body that was broken for us. I remember your blood that was shed for us. And we come through the door of mercy as we worship God this morning. We're going to start there, all right? Because mercy is new this morning for us. But then, we're going to worship God passionately. And I'm not sure where this is going to go. I'm not sure.